This is Conversations on Public Health. Today, we're talking with Robin Herman, Assistant Dean for Research Communications, about an article she wrote as a young Metro reporter in 1982 for the New York Times that was, in retrospect, a landmark moment. It was the first time the word AIDS was mentioned in the New York Times. Herman talks about her reporting on the deadly disease, which, she wrote in that article, remains largely mysterious in its symptoms and causes. Herman also talks about why the Times editors chose to relegate this important story to the back pages of the Sunday paper.
It sounds really grand that I wrote the first article in the New York Times that had the word AIDS in it. But what you don't know by looking up this article online is that the article was not placed on the front page of the New York Times or any place that anyone would easily be able to find it. But in fact, the article appeared on a Sunday in the second section of the New York Times, buried. The article was buried. It was in August of 1982. I was a general assignment reporter, and I often wrote about social issues, as it happened. The assignment came to me from the Metropolitan editor to do an article on this new disease. A report had just come out from the CDC that had recorded the number of cases of the syndrome, and there were 505 cases at the time, and almost half of them were in New York City. In addition to reporting the facts and numbers about this new disease, I wanted to include some of the people who had been coping with the fear of this disease, and I wanted to talk to the community that was affected. I went down to Greenwich Village and I went to the office of a doctor there whose practice included many homosexual men. I talked to him about the disease, and he described how fearful his patients were, that they were coming to him with worries about rashes and spots that actually turned out to be benign. But they were worried because one of the early signs of this disease was a rare kind of cancer called Kaposi sarcoma that showed up as red or purplish spots, lesions. I could feel in the office how intensely worried patients and doctors were about this disease because nobody really knew what caused it, and there was no treatment for it, and it was lethal. I recall perfectly, after I had completed the article, going up to the Metropolitan editor, who was standing with another couple editors in a group. They were looking at a draft of a magazine article that was to run in the next couple of weeks by one of our reporters named Nan Robertson, who had contracted toxic shock syndrome. That was the disease people were worried about at that time. It was found to have been caused by superabsorbent tampons, and many women were contracting this sometimes lethal bacterial infection. So I went up to the editors, and I had my article in hand about AIDS. And I said to the editor, the Metropolitan editor, this is really important. I've written the article about this AIDS syndrome, and I really think that it should be on page one. And the editor said to me that he was busy, that they were looking over this other article, and he wasn't paying attention to me. And I said, this is worse than toxic shock syndrome. With toxic shock syndrome, we already know what causes it. We know how to treat it. You take antibiotics. They've taken the product off the market that was causing it. But with this disease, with AIDS, I said, nobody knows what causes it. There is no treatment for it, and everyone who gets it dies. And I remember him turning away from me, turning his back on me, and resuming the discussion about this article on toxic shock syndrome. The importance of this new disease was not recognized. You can understand why if you understand the marginalization of homosexuals at that time. If you'll notice in my story, the word gay does not appear in any of my writing. The only time the word gay is in there is when I mention an information group called the Gay Men's Health Crisis. It wasn't until several years later that the word gay appeared and was allowed in the New York Times. I look back at this story and I tell you I weep. I feel so terrible that I was not able to convince the New York Times to put this in a place of prominence. Because imagine if this story had been on the front page of the New York Times. If the Times, by putting it on the front page, had confirmed the importance of looking at this disease and taking it seriously as an issue that affected or could affect everyone in the country, as it did eventually. Could that have made a difference? I'm sure it would have made a difference. Later on, I had a daily column at the New York Times, a metropolitan section column, and the Gay Men's Health Crisis group would call me from time to time with items asking me to include it in my column, and I did the best I could to keep the issue alive because I felt it was important. But AIDS now is handled by the media as a chronic condition, and the reporting on it is no more urgent than reporting on heart disease or diabetes. And once again, I think it has fallen into the category of, at least in the United States, a disease that concerns others. Others in other countries, others who are poor, others who have drug problems, others in one way or another. I teach a course here at the School on Health Communications, and every year I tell my students, I bring out this story, and I tell them, doesn't this look grand? I wrote this first story about AIDS that appeared in the New York Times, but it was buried, and it was buried because the group of people it was affecting was a marginalized group. It was a group that no one cared about or paid attention to and had no power. What other group is suffering from some illness or health crisis that we are ignoring now because it's a marginalized group that nobody cares about and no one pays attention to and is powerless? Those are the people whose health we have to champion and not repeat what happened in the 1980s.